Sheffield Live, made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends. Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082.
Welcome one and all to Thank Goodness It's Folk with me, James Fagan, with you for 2 hours. Sam is on a break this week, but will be back next week with me. I've got a fantastic program for you today. If I may say so myself, I'm very excited to be talking to Sheffield singer Patrick Rose about his advent calendar of Peter Bellamy songs, 25 of his favourite songs from the master of traditional singing and Kipling poetry and everything in between. The great Peter Bellamy, and Patrick sings them beautifully. Stick around to hear December 1st, 2nd and 3rd from his advent calendar, the songs that he chose for those days, and a chat with Patrick about the whole project. It really is very wonderful. I'll also be celebrating the life of two Australian folk singers and players. One of them was Ted Egan. 93 he was when he died, and what a legacy he leaves behind. We'll discuss Ted Egan and play a couple of his classic tracks. And I also send the program out to friends and family of Nigel Lever, who died just a couple of days ago as this program goes out, in Sydney, and a great mandolin player who will be sorely missed by the Australian folk scene. So our thoughts go out with this program to those people. I've also got lots and lots of new releases, including some brilliant carols from Derbyshire, sung by Seb Stone and Samuel Day, new music from Brian Peters, and lots of other things too. Do stick around for 2 hours of Thank Goodness It's Folk here on Sheffield Live and later on Mixcloud, and let me know you're listening. Yeah, welcome to the program. It's lovely to have you with us today. The first song I want to play to you today is The Drover's Boy. This is an incredibly significant song to me, and I'm playing it today because we've just learned that Ted Egan, the great writer of this song and many, many fine songs over many decades, has passed away in the Northern Territory at the age of 93, which is an incredible innings, as you can well imagine. For anybody to reach such an age is an amazing thing. But nevertheless, we send our condolences, and there will be many people grieving his passing. He was an extraordinary man. His wife, Neris, survives him, and I send her my condolences and my love. It's been a long time since I've seen Ted and Neris. Ted Egan was born in Victoria, but he moved to the Northern Territory when he was 16 and became heavily involved with all sorts of jobs up there in the bush. He was engaged in stock work. He was a patrol officer and a reserve superintendent. He was a teacher. But he all became best known for his songwriting, which explored many, many themes, including Aboriginal Australia, history of the Northern Territory, convict history, the history of places like Alice Springs and Arnhem Land, the history of overlanders and the drovers. And he really did create an enormous amount of work. He was a very funny man to watch on stage. He played, his main instrument on stage was an empty Foster's beer carton, which he played like a drum, and said, "This one's in the key of F," which it always, of course, was. He wrote humorous songs. He wrote very serious songs and everything in between. And he was absolutely beloved by the wider Australian community, including the population of the Northern Territory. And it was no surprise to anybody who knew Ted when he was elected to be the 18th administrator of the Northern Territory in 2003, which is basically the governor of the Northern Territory, a position he held for longer than his elected position because they kept extending it. He was so popular in the position, and the various ministers decided to keep giving him the job back. So he was the administrator of the Northern Territory from 2003 to 2007. The song I'm about to play you is incredibly important, and it's a true story about deliberate acts that were carried out upon Aboriginal people in Ted's lifetime. And it's called The Drover's Boy. Many of people will have heard this song. And so without further ado, to mark the passing of Ted Egan on the 4th of December at the age of 93, here he is singing The Drover's Boy.
They couldn't understand why the drover cried as they buried the drover's boy. For the drover had always seemed so hard to the men in his employ. A balding horse and a stirrup lost, and the drover's boy was dead. The shoveled dirt and a mumbled word, and it's back to the road ahead, and forget about the drover's boy. They couldn't understand why the drover cut a lock of the dead boy's hair. He put it in the band of his battered old hat as they watched him standing there. And he told them, "Take the cattle on, I'll sit with the boy a while." A silent thought, a pipe to smoke, and it's ride another mile and forget about the drover's boy. Or they couldn't understand why the drover and the boy had always camped so far away. For the tall white man and the slim black boy had never had much to say. And the boy would be gone at break of dawn, tail the horses, carry on, while the drover roused the sleeping men. Daylight hit the road again and follow the drover's boy. Follow the drover's boy. In the Camomile pub they talked about the death of the drover's boy. They drank their rum with a stranger who'd come from a Kimberley run, Fitzroy. And he told of the massacre in the west, barest details, guess the rest. Shoot the bucks, grab a gin, cut her hair, break her in and call her a boy. The drover's boy, call her a boy. The drover's boy. So when they build that Stockman's Hall of Fame and they talk about the droving game, remember the girl who was bedmate and guide, rode with the drovers side by side, watched the bullocks, flayed the hide, faithful wife but never a bride, bred his sons for the cattle runs. Don't weep for the drover's boy, don't mourn for the drover's boy, but don't forget the drover's boy.
Dear Ted Egan, who passed away this week, age 93 in Australia, and I am feeling every one of those miles between me and home listening to that song today. I'm very pleased to be able to play you now a very new recording that comes out today on Bandcamp, and it is a recording made by two fine singers, Seb Stone and Samuel Day, who grew up singing carols in Derbyshire together, particularly associated with the village of Fulo. And Fulo Village has its own carol tradition. There are songs from Fulo which are sung all over the world. Well, Seb and Sam have come together to record a whole album of them, and it comes out today. And I'm going to play you a couple of tracks from it. It is recorded with the help of the wonderful Rowan Piggott, who you'll hear on this first track. These are carols from the village of Fulo, and as we are well and truly into Sheffield and South Yorkshire and Derbyshire carolling season, these could not be more perfectly timed. Let's hear Joy to the World from Seb Stone and Samuel Day.
Joy to the world, the long expected star
leads on,
a glorious train from heaven afar. 'Tis Jacob's star that cheers the gloomy night
and sheds o'er all mankind its living light.
Tis Jacob's star that cheers the gloomy night and sheds o'er all mankind its living light.
And strike
your golden lyre with dulcet string. Lift up your heads, ye abject and forlorn. A Saviour, prophet, priest, and king is born.
A Saviour, prophet, priest, and king is born.
Lift up your heads, ye abject and forlorn. A Saviour, prophet, priest, and king is born. Wonderful named
and Counselor Divine. Behold, behold,
behold,
the Virgin bears the Son, the sign. The mighty God to rule the world and bless. The everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
The everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
The mighty God to rule the world and bless. The everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
Celebrate his birth.
Rejoice,
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 ye nations all with holy mirth.
Loud through the skies his glorious triumph swell.
Victorious love has conquered death and hell.
Victorious love has conquered death and hell.
Conquered death and hell.
Loud through the skies his glorious triumph swell.
Victorious love has conquered death and hell.
Seb Stone and Samuel Day. Isn't that absolutely fabulous? Carols from the Derbyshire village of Fulo. And that comes out today on Bandcamp. Go and listen to the whole record and then download yourself a copy. Well, it's been a week of sad news from Australia, it must be said, as I'm recording the program today. I've just heard about the sudden and unexpected passing of the bluegrass and general mandolin player Nigel Lever in Sydney, a beloved musician, beloved all across Australia in the folk scene. And I found out from my mum that he died unexpectedly yesterday. And we send our deep condolences to Rosie McDonald and to all of Nigel's friends and family. It's a sudden loss, which is always very difficult to take, and he'll be greatly missed. So many people have been writing on Facebook about their love of Nigel and his music, and I thought it would be a nice thing to hear some of it now. This is from an EP that Rosie McDonald made with Cleona Mollins to celebrate or commemorate the 200th anniversary of the opening of the Parramatta Female Factory Building, which was the first female convict site in the newish colony of Sydney. And it's a very, very important bit of history and a very important building. And Rosie and Cleona were commissioned to write a suite of songs commemorating the anniversary. And on this recording, which is absolutely lovely, you'll hear Rosie McDonald on lead vocal. You'll hear Cleona Mollins on harp. You'll hear Jacqueline McPhee on the EP as well. But on this track particularly, I would like you to listen to the lovely mandolin playing of Nigel Lever. And we send our condolences and sadness and sorrows at his sudden passing to the Australian folk scene. And to Rosie. Here are Mothers of the Nation with Banish My Misfortune.
From Cork to Port Jackson in 1818, on a convict ship with my baby Aileen, sent for the crime of stealing lace to sell for food, we were starving in place. We once born Banshee women wailed, County Down to Kilkenny and Cork we hailed. Old ties are broken, banished from home. Sweet County Clare is a dream to me now. On St. Bridget's Day, 1821, 109 women and 71 young marched down to the factory, troops by our side, stone wall so high, a harsh life inside. No bed of my own to care for my child, Aileen, now three. By four she'll be gone, sent to the orphanage over the wall, punished for my crime through no fault of her own. We weave the lines of cloth together, life, land and blood, our song entwined. This harsh land, our fate, no more returning, transported from the green fields of home. The bonnet I wear, small help from the cold, tunic and petticoat, rough on my skin. Straw hat I wear, small shade from the sun. God, please save me, banish my misfortune. Spin and work, lay out the linen for the fine folk. We live together, work together, cook, clean and sew, face joy, loss and pain, any secrets kept here. We'll sing together, we've tell old tales anew in the heat of the sun. The sky topaz blue, oh I wish my dear Sean was here by my side.
The sad boom of the bittern is all that I hear, and the leaves in the woodland and the gulls by the shore cry. You never shall sit by your loved ones no more. You never shall sit by your loved ones no more. When I was a young girl, this world did seem gay, but these cruel hard times do drive comfort away, and the leaves in the woodland and the gulls by the shore cry. never shall dance with your sweetheart no more. You never shall dance with your sweetheart no more. Once I gathered wild flowers in the sweet countryside, but my garlands have withered, my posies have died, and the leaves in the woodland and the gulls by the shore cry. You never shall lie by your husband no more. You never shall lie by your husband no more. Once I had a sweetheart, but now my man's gone. Once I was a mother, but now I'm alone. And the leaves in the woodland and the gulls by the shore cry. You never shall walk with your men folk no more. You never shall walk with your men folk no more. Come all you young women that's free from all care, don't you ever get married all sorrows lie there. For the leaves in the woodland and the gulls by the shore cry. The heart that is given no man may restore. No heart that is given no man may restore. Now the fields are all empty, the hedgerows are bare. Only wild desolation is all I find there. I'll go down to the river to ease all my pain. And who knows, but I might find my dear ones again. And who knows, but I might find my dear ones again.
That was the cast of the revived version of Peter Bellamy's The Transports, led in that recording of The Leaves in the Woodland by Nancy Kerr, with harmonies from Rachel McShane and the beautiful ensemble playing of Faustus, including the late Paul Sarton. I absolutely love that recording, and I love the original recording as well, sung by June Tabor. And I played it for two reasons. One is that it ties in with the previous track we heard, which was an exploration of female convicts and where they ended up in Parramatta, just outside of the new settlement in Sydney. And that relates, of course, to The Transports. But I also played it because it is a song by Peter Bellamy, and that ties in with my next guest on the program. His name is Patrick Rose. He's a Sheffield folk singer of great, great skill and great taste. He has just recorded an advent calendar, and it's a remarkable project indeed. This advent calendar is audio. It's on Patrick Rose's website. And yeah, it's exactly what it sounds like. Every day, starting on the 1st of December, Patrick will be releasing a new recording of himself singing a Peter Bellamy song. Without further ado, let's hear December the 1st's song from Patrick Rose from the repertoire of Peter Bellamy. This is Butter and Cheese and All, and then I'll have a chat with Patrick.
Well, now you've called on me to sing, I'll see what I can do. And when that I have finished it, I'll call on one of you. And now you've called on me to sing, I'll see what I can do. And when that I have finished it, I'll call on one of you. I'll call on one of you. Well, the first time I went courting, well, I'll tell you the reason why. 'Twas the jolly old cook, for me once she did supply. She fed me on the best roast beef and plenty of mince pies. And when that I was hungry, well, me once she did supply. Me once she did supply. One night I went to see her, me own true love to see. She says the master and missus are out, we'll have a jolly spree. So into the parlour I did go, me own true love to please. And into one pocket she ran some butter, and into the other some cheese, and into the other some cheese. And when the supper was over and I could eat no more, oh Lord, what a surprise when a knock came at the door. So I looked around for a place to hide, but that I did not know. So it's up the chimney I did creep, as black as any old crow, as black as any old crow. Well, the fire had been rather warm, it began to scorch my knees, likewise to melt my butter and likewise to toast my cheese. And every drop that dropped below, a dreadful blaze was there. And the master swore that in his own house, the devil himself was there. The devil himself was there. So it's up to the chimney he did creep, for to drive old Harry out. He began to pour cold water down, which drove me to a rout. So it's out the chimney I did go, and on the streets did crawl. And I was forced to ramble among them myself, with me butter and cheese and all, with me butter and cheese and all. Well, some they say it's the devil himself, for them they very well know. And others says it was Harry, for I was black as a crow. The dogs did bark, the children screamed, up wailed the women all. And then they began to blubber it out, you got butter and cheese and all, you've got butter and cheese and all.
That was, of course, Butter and Cheese and All, which is known by many people from the singing of Peter Bellamy, but you just heard it sung by Sheffield's own Patrick Rose, who, as I mentioned in my introduction, has just made the most wonderful advent calendar. It's an audio advent calendar, and it is a celebration of 25 of Patrick's favourite recordings by Peter Bellamy, and I'm very happy to say that we're joined on Thank Goodness It's Folk right now by Patrick himself. Good morning.
Good morning.
Patrick, this is a brilliant, brilliant idea, and I'm not going to go into whether or not it's a perfectly original idea or where you got the idea from. It doesn't matter whether it has happened before that someone's made an advent calendar of songs. What they haven't done, and I've never seen before, is an advent calendar of Peter Bellamy songs, and I think this is a stunningly good idea. I know that it's a labour of love for you, and I know that it's not driven by commercial dreams or anything like that. It is driven by your love of this extraordinary repertoire sung by an extraordinary man. So before we go much further, I wonder if you could just introduce our listeners. If you had to tell someone who'd never heard of Peter Bellamy, if you could just sum him up briefly to listeners who might be driving around the ring road around Sheffield and have never heard, they've just tuned in to Thank Goodness It's Folk on Sheffield Live, and they've heard a song about butter and cheese. Why Peter Bellamy? Who was he, and why do you like him so much?
So Peter Bellamy was a singer from the revival. He came to prominence kind of from the young tradition, which was him, Royster Wood and Heather Wood, just singing incredibly gutsy traditional songs in three-part harmony. And he's just a phenomenal singer. I loved every way that he approached singing a song. I loved how gutsy all of his performance was, but also how he could mould something into being quite beautiful and touching. He's one of the people that I think probably one of the biggest influences on the way that I sing songs now, just because I think I've got a very similar range to what he does. I can do a lot of the things that he does, and it's a lot of fun to sing like that.
Yep. When did you first become aware of his singing?
So I have a vague memory. So I didn't grow up as a proper hard and arse folky, and I end up, when I moved to Sheffield University, it just happened, kind of. I just discovered all this folk stuff and was like, oh yes, I'll have some of that. And I remember buying a 4-disc collection of like English folk revival singers, which had like it had Nick Jones doing Kennedy I.O. and it had a Spies and Bowden track and it had all kinds of goodness. I remember on one of the discs there was Peter singing the Kipling poem A Pilgrim's Way, and I think like a lot of people I went, oh, that's a bit of an abrasive voice, and kind of backed away from it. But I always like I knew I did like the song. And I quite liked what we did with it. And then after a while, he just kind of came back around, as he so often does. I think a lot of the songs that he sang, people have since learned.
Yeah.
So I got to know a lot through his repertoire. And then eventually I came back around to listening through him. And then over lockdown, one of the things that I was doing while I was working from home and trying not to go bored out of my mind was I thought, well, I quite like these songs. I've kind of grown, you know, his style of delivery's grown on me a bit more. I'm just going to listen through to his entire repertoire because people have managed to rip them all and they were on YouTube. I spent a lot of time listening to his live recording, Won't You Go My Way, which is him basically just doing his thing with a whole bunch of introductions, which are quite witty, but also, like they're witty, but he's quite self-deprecating at the same time.
Indeed.
When you get to hear Luke Killen also doing their thing, and it's just an absolutely glorious album. I thought, I'm going to listen through to all of Pete's output. It's all just lovely. And I mean, and it's just a lovely repertoire.
It is indeed. What was the moment when you realised that you had enough of them to do what you've just done? And for the listeners who haven't met you before, how can they find out about you and how can they find your advent calendar? Let's get straight to the chase and tell us how it all came together.
It's been one of those ones that has been in the back of my mind. I wouldn't say that I knew all these 25 originally. I just knew, you know how you listen to a song enough that you go, oh, I can just about busk this. And I've got a lot of Pete's material to that thing. And then I went through and I went going, okay, what's 25 that I should do? And it was one of those projects I had on the back burner for multiple years until John set up a concert last year, which was basically just him going, I want to do a concert to celebrate Bellamy. And I got out of it and went, yes, I want to do something similar. So I was like, right, I'm going to do this. I'm going to get this out. So now there's an advent calendar, which is up on my website. So you can go to bellamy-advent.patrickrosemusic.co.uk. And then there's a song that comes out every day at 8 o'clock.
That's a wonderful, wonderful idea. And it's brilliant too, because it will draw people to your website and it will draw people into your singing who don't necessarily know you already. And I think that's really great. But it's also a living testament to a fantastic repertoire. But let's look at what we just sang then. Tell us about that first song, Butter and Cheese and All.
So this is one that I think I first heard John Bowden sing when he did Folk Song a Day back in, or whenever that was, 2010, 2011. It's one that has been around for a while. I know that a lot of people sing it. I think Bellamy first did it on his first solo album, Mainly Norfolk, but the reason why I chose to start the calendar with it was because Won't You Go My Way starts with that thing. I think it's just a bold opening statement from someone just to go, well, now you've called on me to sing as an opening line. And yeah. I just think you've kind of got to go with that as a...
It's a fantastic song, and you sing it absolutely brilliantly, as people will find when they go to your calendar and click on December the 1st. And as they work their way through, they will find that there is one Bellamy song sung by you each day. It's a lovely way to immerse yourself gradually into a set of songs and a repertoire. Bellamy himself had fantastic inspirations, and he was a deeply intellectual man, and he was drawn into the research very heavily, and he was a completist as well. So he did a lot of study, he did a lot of reading, and he had massive archives, and he spent a lot of time in the Vaughan Williams Memorial Library as well. But he also knew personally some of the famous soul singers who he was lucky enough to perform with and call his friends. He knew people like Walter Pardon. He was inspired by Sam Lana and Harry Cox. I see him as a sort of a transition for our generation between the soul singers we didn't meet necessarily and ourselves now. And he fills this remarkable bridge, doesn't he, between generations.
Yeah, and there's one of the things that, as I mentioned to John, that I was doing this, he said, I said, oh, I've got a couple of interviews with Peter that you might like, want to read. And there's a couple of them that he basically was going around saying, like, the Source Singer's the point. Like, it's, we've got a whole these people that have learnt the songs from Martin Carthy and so, but then they've never gone any further back, and a whole bunch of people that had learned songs from doing tradition, but then never gone back to the coppers. And I think he was really, really vocal about the fact that, yes, he can definitely move things forward, but there is also that root of tradition, especially with some of the songs that he's got, that he's the only one that got them and just kind of got them out of relative obscurity.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the best things that he did.
Me too. And I think also he was, I really love how radical he was in terms of his listenership. So he had broad taste, he had very eclectic taste. And I think in some months of his life, probably didn't even describe himself as a folk singer necessarily. He was a singer of songs, and he was a Renaissance character in a way, in terms of the breadth of his interest, and not just in singing, but in music and in the art and in all sorts of areas of life. A deeply fascinating man. And for people who don't know, it's very sad that Peter, you talked about self-deprecation. It went very deep for him, and he had a terrible problem with depression, and which ultimately ended his life in 1991. To everybody's shock and sorrow, he took his own life well before the opportunity presented itself, Patrick, for him to see that the folk scene he loved so dearly was actually in pretty good shape, something he didn't know at the time. He was deeply pessimistic about the future of folk music, and it would be amazing for him now to not just see what's happening in the scene, but to know that somebody like you in 2025 is celebrating him, and not just him, but the songs that he collected. That's a lot to reflect on, isn't it? And it's not something that needs to weigh on one's shoulders when you sing Peter Bellamy songs, but it's something that I think we all think about, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Like when John set up that concert, this being to John that helps run the New Musical Traditions Club in Sheffield, along with Matt Quinn and Monty Christian. Well, the night beforehand, there was like a little thing around, and Jenny was there, who is Peter's wife. And one thing she said at the end of it was that it was lovely that so many people had gone round and were happy to spend an evening singing his songs. And that was the other bit that made me go, he was just a phenomenally good singer. He was a phenomenally good collector and arranger and curator of folk stuff. I've got one of that in some way.
And you have indeed. We're going to hear another song now, which is December the 2nd, which was Tuesday, on the Patrick Rose Peter Bellamy Advent Calendar. It's a brilliant idea and a brilliant project. And this song is one of the big ones. Many Sheffield listeners will know it, sung by the Wilsons from Teesside. Tell us about how you came upon Big Steamers and why you like singing it.
I know that I picked this up around 10 years ago when I was just listening through things. I'm fairly certain that I've probably heard the Wilsons sing it, and I went, oh, that's quite good, and then forgot about it and then picked it up again afterwards. The Wilsons tell a story of how Bellamy put this together and then basically sent them a cassette recording with a note that basically just said, I think this one's for you chaps. And he's not really that wrong. It's a peak Wilsons full blast.
Yeah.
Like, knock your hair off your head song.
It really is, but you sing it very, very well. Let's hear from your Advent Calendar, December the 2nd's edition, Big Steamers, from Patrick Rose.
Oh, where are you going to, oh, you big steamers? With England's own coal up and down the salt sea, we are going to fetch you your bread and your butter, your beef, pork and mutton, eggs, apples and cheese. And where will you fetch it from, oh, you big steamers? And where should I write you when you are away? We fetch it from Melbourne, Quebec and Vancouver, addresses at Hobart, Hong Kong and Bombay. But if anything should happen to all you big steamers, suppose you were wrecked up and down the salt sea, well then you would not have your bacon for breakfast, and you'd have no muffins or toast for your tea. Then I'll pray for fine weather for all you big steamers, with little blue billows and breezes so soft. Oh, billows and breezes, don't bother big steamers, they're iron below and steel rigging aloft. Then I'll build a grand lighthouse for all you big seamers, with plenty wise pilots to pilot you through. Oh, the channel's as bright as a ballroom already, and pilots are thicker than pilchards in loo. Well then, what can I do for you, oh, you big steamers? What can I do for your comfort and good? You can send out your warships to watch your big waters, that no one can stop us from bringing your food, for the bread that you eat and the biscuits you nibble, the sweets that you suck and the joints that you carve, they are brought to you daily by all us big steamers. And if anyone hinders our coming, you'll starve.
You're listening to Thank Goodness It's Folk here on Sheffield Live with me, James Fagan, and my guest today is Patrick Rose, a folk singer from Sheffield, among his many other talents. And it's absolutely lovely, Patrick, to see some more recordings from yourself. You made an album, Paradise Square, which we've played on this program before. I think we might have even talked to you about it when it came out. But you're busy in many aspects of your life, and you've got a full-time job that is not folk singing as well. But singing's something I have always associated with you, and your regularly seen at Sheffield events, and you're regularly seen at sing-outs and harmony things. It must be lovely for you to have taken the time from your life to sit down and really think about a new project and to actually realise it.
Oh, yeah, this has been an utter joy. I mean, so it's 25 songs. Like, it's not nothing. Like, it's a lot of work that kind of goes into it. But it means that it's also 25, in my opinion, really good songs. So it's a joy to kind of work through them and decide, oh, this is what I want to do with it. I spent a lot of time kind of going through them and going, oh, how can I sing this? Like, how can I get the best effect out of this stuff? I think one of the best things I think you can do to a song is just like interrogate it and go, this line does this, so what do I do as a singer to make it really ring out? Like, what decisions can I make? And it's really, really enjoyable to do that. I mean, for most of this recording, we did, I think, in total about 4 days in total. Like a short day, like 3 short days, and then one very big long day where I did about 16 in one go, which damn near killed me. But, you know, again, 25 songs, you've just got to get them done.
Indeed.
But it's still lovely to just like go through and go, right, okay, I'm gonna sing yet another good song. I'm not going to sing another good song. I just have to get all that done.
And I believe you used the Underbank Chapel up on the way out to Dungworth, on the outside of Sheffield, a venue I know very well. It's somewhere I've recorded myself. We did our Melrose Quartet album Dominion there. How did you find it?
I think I basically asked people in Sheffield, like, where's somewhere that's available that I could do that? Because I knew I've got 25 songs and I'm not planning on making a lot of money out of this. I'm expecting that I will make very little money out of it. So I kind of had to choose somewhere that was going to be like decent enough that I could get to it, but not ridiculously expensive. So Underbank is, I'd say you recorded there. I know that Matt Quinn's recorded his duo album with Owen Woods there.
Yeah.
I think one of the Dovetail Trails there. I think there's a whole bunch of people in Sheffield who's used that room to record in. And it's a lovely, lovely room to sing in. It's quite a echoey room, but it means that you get all the joy of like a natural reverb, but without having to go to a church. Like, it's nice to work with.
It sounds great, and actually it's so lovely to, and it's important that people understand that what they're hearing is a real location, and I think that's a really special feature of what you're doing, because it's, you know, so much now is done in, you know, hyper controlled circumstances, all digital, and then with adding reverbs. This is not a new phenomenon, of course, but it seems to be almost ubiquitous now that people have forgotten that acoustic spaces that were designed for voices, as that place clearly has been, have a magic to them. And I think, you know, one of the reasons people should tune into your advent calendar of songs is to hear a local venue being used by a local singer. And I think that's a very special feature of what you've done. And I think you've done it extremely well. I just want to ask you one more question about Peter Bellamy. And that is, going through his repertoire, something that always strikes me is, we talked about his eclecticism and the broad nature of his interests. Obviously, he was passionate about traditional music, But he's also passionate about the poetry of Rudyard Kipling. He was a very widely read person. How did you feel about him after completing the 25 songs? Did you feel any differently about Peter Bellamy as a person and as a personality and as a character in our folk music as a result of recording the songs?
One of the things that's been nice is that, again, the interview that is in one of the like various magazines that people have sent through to me, and it was quite nice, like, rushing through, like, doing the research for all these songs. The stories that I've heard from people on the scene is that he was a bit of a misery guts, a lot of things, and there's, like, stories of him staying around at your person who booked him for his house, going through their records collection and saying, "Oh, this is rubbish," and doing that sort of stuff. But then you also read through some of the stuff that he's done. So with Kipling in particular, he makes the point that Kipling's songs are, in most cases, set to traditional tunes, or they match quite well to them. But one of the things that about Kipling in particular is that, and I really found this as I was working through it, you'd find that Kipling would write this amazing piece of really poignant poetry, and then you'd find out the reason he'd written it was for some quite jingoistic, imperialistic purpose, and right. You'd be like, oh, that's kind of taken the edge off. But there's other ones where you kind of read more of the context around what it was, and the base reading is that quite imperialistic stuff. But then there's the other stuff which you go, oh, actually, maybe he isn't making the point that you think he is. Mm. He's making a different point. I think that's one of the things that Peter was quite championing when he was talking about Kipling. I think a lot of people did just say Kipling is just this old white guy who was saying some awful things. And I've not read through a whole bunch of Kipling poetry, and I'm sure that there is some stuff that's kind of abhorrent by modern standards. But then you find the things where Kipling's written about soldiers in the British Army who are not having a particularly great time, but are still doing it for what they see as good reasons. They're doing it for pride. Like songs like Big Steamers, where it was written for the school history of England, which is, again, quite imperialistic, but then you have these bits of poetry that Kipling's written that kind of take the edge off and basically say it's not just about how great England is, it's going, this is why things can fall apart. Big Steamers is basically just saying Britain is an island, it probably therefore needs the Navy, probably shouldn't get rid of it.
Yeah.
Which was living true around his time.
Yes, and it was particularly important for Peter to try and find a different angle on England, because as most people who know his history know, his father was very much a nationalist, and it must have been very difficult for Peter to find his way in a folk scene initially in that time, which would have been deeply anti-nationalist and anti-racist and all of the things that, you know, he could have easily inherited in his upbringing.
A lot of the Kipling stuff that he pulled together, it's not about England is better than everywhere else.
Yeah.
A lot of it is about England is beautiful.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that my reading of it is that I think he was subtly moving away from that, the politics he'd inherited. And I think he very deliberately didn't talk about it. But I think that he tried to let his songs do the talking in a way. And his love of tradition was very deep. And it's very important to distinguish between traditional music and nationalistic views. They are not the same thing. And I think that he's an embodiment of that to a certain extent, although he's not around for us to ask him. Patrick, it's been absolutely fascinating talking to you about him. I really urge people to listen to your calendar. There's a couple of questions I want to just ask you to finish up. The first is, you said you don't expect to make any money out of this, and you are, in fact, giving the songs effectively away as free streams on your website. But if people want to support you and people want to get behind your music and give you some monetary recognition for the amount of work you put into this, is there a way for them to do that?
So, I mean, all my previous stuff that I've done, so Paradise Square is available. I think over the past 10 years or so, I've done, the Paradise Square was out in 2012, and then since then I've done some other like little EP recordings or so. So feel free to go and buy those. Once we get to the end of it, once we get to January and I've had a bit of a chance to recover, I will release this as an album just so that people can give me money for it.
Great. Good. I'm very glad to hear it. It means I don't need to suggest it to you because you're already there. And the last question I have for you is, I don't expect any spoilers, because anyone who's interested in Bellamy and interested in your singing will want this to unfold as a series of surprises. But can you comment on whether or not we might be hearing something from the magnificent, very close to my own ancestral heart, convict ballad opera, The Transports?
It's impossible to do a Bellamy Advent calendar without doing at least one song from the Transports.
Hooray! That's great news. Well, let's go to finish off this segment, and we're very grateful for your time today, and we're grateful that you've done this because it's an absolutely lovely thing to look forward to, and it's certainly more interesting than opening a tiny chocolate each day, I have to say, personally. I think this is a big step forward for advent calendars generally, and I think you may have set a new bar quite high, Patrick. Your third song is one that you are very fond of, and you've mentioned some friends, including Ed Wynn, who's another great interpreter of Peter Bellamy's songs, and we don't hear him enough, in fact. But he is somebody also associated with the singer Bellamy in the Sheffield area. And Marilla Holmes also encouraged you to sing this. Faken and Fair, perhaps you could tell us about this song, and then we'll play it.
It's a song that's just a bit strange. There's a lot of people that have seen it. So obviously, a lot of people will have probably heard Bella Head singing it absolutely ages ago. It's a song that Peter collected from a Pete Bullen from Norwich. And people seem to be 50-50 about whether actually Peter just wrote it himself and claimed it was traditional so that everyone else could have it. I'm very much of the opinion that he probably didn't do that because he was quite good at saying, no, I wrote that. I don't think he would have been shy about it. And like, I released it out and then asked people, oh, these are my thoughts on it. And then I had a whole bunch of people going, oh no, there's definitely Pete Bullens that existed. Like that person definitely existed. Probably it says that Pete Bullen learned it from his grandfather. So there might be a whole bunch of extra research that I end up finding it. Some people have sent me some newspaper clippings. So I'm going to have a proper look through those over the course of the next couple of days and then work out how I can then incorporate it back.
Well, it's a fantastic song and you sing it brilliantly. So without further ado, we'll hear it. But thank you, Patrick Rose, for what you've made. I think it's wonderful. And I think it's a really great concept. And I think you've executed it superbly. And I look forward to every single one of these songs leading up to Christmas. So thank you for making it. And thanks for joining us today on Thank Goodness It's Folk.
No trouble at all.
Great. Here's Patrick Rose with Day 3 of the 2025 Advent calendar, celebrating the repertoire of the great Peter Bellamy, with Patrick's own take on Faken and Fair.
I never really fell in love till I went up to Faken and Fair. And I chanced for to meet with a carnival girl selling the chances there. I tried for a lamp or a Spanish shawl or a golden filigree, but all the while her eyes were saying, come take a chance on me. So swing around those merry-go-rounds, give the wheel of fortune a whirl, for the finest prize at Faken and Fair is the pretty carnival girl. Her eyes were blue, her hair it was brown, and her lips they were soft and red. And a shape like hers I had ne'er seen before, and my eyes, well, they popped from my head. But I was young and innocent, but even I could see that the way she laughed and the way she winked, it said, come take a chance on me. So swing around the merry-go-round, give the wheel of fortune a whirl, for the finest prize at Faken and Fair is the pretty carnival girl. The old folks said, she ain't for you, boy, and what will the old people think? But I took my chance and I won that girl just as quick as an eye could wing. And the very best day in all my life, whatever comes to pass, was the day that I went up to Faken Unfair and I won me a carnival lass. So swing around the merry-go-round, give the wheel of fortune a whirl, for the finest prize at Faken Unfair is the pretty carnival girl. So swing around those merry-go-rounds, give the wheel of fortune a whirl, for the finest prize at Faken Unfair is the pretty carnival girl.